Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
And you know that all the hot topics on this show are brought to you by Ohio Business Machines, and that's what we're getting into. The hot topics being the Browns draft, and of course, as we talked with you from the Barrington Country Club, the Browns Foundation Golf Tournament today, which, again, a very big deal, something that's been great for this team in this community to do year after year. It gets great attendance. It always generates a whole lot of money for great causes that the foundation takes care of. And as you heard in the conversation, Nathan Zagura talking about this with Jimmy Haslam, the very point about the emphasis on education, and that's a great focus for the foundation. Also want to tell you that we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, and that the new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in, so see them in action in the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. You visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Nathan, a big point and a big takeaway from this draft, not only the emphasis on power football, defensive football, running the football well, but depth is another big deal.
Yeah, you saw last year what happened when Trent Richardson was traded to Indianapolis. No running back depth. Now the Browns have Ben Tate, and did they say that's enough for running back position? That he's our guy, but you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to get Terrence West from Towson, a guy that we like, who rushed for over 2,500 yards and 41 touchdowns last season. Then you go ahead, and they're rumored to have added Isaiah Crowell as an undrafted free agent. A little bit of a checkered pass, but if you know the guy's talent, off the charts, was the SEC freshman of the year before having to leave the SEC for those off-the-field problems. But talent-wise, a guy that could be a diamond in the rough for the Cleveland Browns. At the cornerback position, where you needed a lot of depth, you throw two assets at it. Of course, you bring in Justin Gilbert with your first pick, Pierre Desir with the second. This is a team that's been talking about all along, instilling a sense of competition at the key positions. But to do that, you need depth. On the offensive line, they drafted Betonio, but don't forget they brought in Paul McQuiston in the offseason. Just bringing in depth, fostering competition, and also providing a little safety net for once in case something were to happen to somebody that you thought was an important cog on the team. Now, we're going to see how they address that one unexpected event at wide receiver going forward. But I do like the fact that they're doing what great teams do, building depth. It gives you a lot of flexibility, fosters competition, and allows you to be a good, tough team out there. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. We want your reactions to this draft weekend. Talk us through, walk us through your emotions, the roller coaster. It certainly was one. And we're going to go now to Toledo. Josh is on the phone. What's up, Josh?
Hey, I got a question. Did the Browns pursue Stevie Johnson? It seemed like Buffalo unloaded him really quick, and they didn't get a lot from the 49ers. It seemed like that would have been an obvious spot since they traded with us. Why didn't we pursue him at all?
From my understanding, we did not. I asked the question internally, and I did not get a definitive no, but I definitely didn't get what I would consider something that made me think that they were. So I'm going to go with the no as kind of the suggestion. Let's put it that way. Stevie Johnson comes with some baggage, and I'm not talking about issues of any problem that he's gotten in trouble with the law or anything like that, but he's a handful as a player. Now, you could say, well, is there a bigger handful than a guy who could be facing a season-long suspension? No, but the personality is what you got to look at, and keep this in mind. Mike Pettine was in Buffalo last year. Mike Pettine was there as defensive coordinator. He knew every player on that roster quite well. If he wanted some sort of play for Stevie Johnson, just as he helped initiate the trade that the Browns ultimately made with Buffalo for the fourth overall pick and allowed them to get Sammy Watkins, that would have happened. I'm not going to say that Mike Pettine, I'm not going to put words to in his mouth about how he feels about Johnson, but the mere fact that it didn't happen and you saw what the low non-price really was for San Francisco should tell you a lot.
Exactly the point that I was going to make, and I think he's a guy with declining skills, 11.5 yards per catch last year, barely caught 50% of his targets, who is struggling, and I don't think the upside is there. His touchdowns have decreased in four straight seasons. He's not the guy that's going to come in and be that outside guy. That's what they need. I think right now Steve Johnson best projects as a slot receiver in the NFL, and so he didn't really fit even what they needed, even though he's got a name of the kind of guy that you might be able to recognize out there. Let's go to Ron in Pepper Pike now. Ron, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Yes.
You got to turn your phone down there, Ron.
Yes,
just turn your phone down. It'll help us all. Okay.
Okay. Listen, I think you guys have the best sports talk program that Cleveland has had in many, many years.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're not full of yourselves. You do your job. But I have to say, I'm disappointed when you write off Hoyer. He's a young guy. He's worked hard. He's come back from an injury. I don't think you should be saying he's not going to be the starter. You don't know that, and it's not right to do to him.
Okay, fair enough. I think this. I would not write off Hoyer just to say that he's a guy that is suddenly expendable or doesn't have a place on the Browns, but not by a long shot, and I'll tell you why. First of all, to construct the whole point about the quarterback position, when you take a quarterback, let's just take the name out for a second, 22nd overall in your draft, you are taking the starter of your team at some point. And we've seen in recent history, different coaching staff, that guy at 22, as Brandon Whedon, become the starter immediately. It could very easily happen this time around, and Whedon did not come into the NFL the way Johnny Manziel comes into the NFL, and I don't know that the affinity for Whedon by the previous evaluators is anywhere close to the affinity that the current evaluators have for Johnny Manziel. The reason that they want him on this team is to be the guy. Okay, now that is not, I mean, it is a slight to Brian Hoyer because he's on your team and you've decided you needed to draft your franchise player. I think Brian Hoyer felt that all along. But here's the key with Johnny Manziel, and I've heard multiple NFL executives tell me this, current and former, say this regarding the Browns, outside of the Browns, tell me this, that when you drafted Johnny Manziel, or if you went into the draft thinking you were going to get him, it was critical to make sure your backup quarterback spot is solid because the nature of Manziel's game could result in some downtime from injury, and you'd better, on your roster, be darn sure you've got that next guy up to step in there. That's what I believe. I mean, things could change between now and the start of the season. That's what I believe the Browns see at the minimum of Brian Hoyer.
And this is my take on it, and I've been consistent with it. Brian Hoyer in two games last year, because that's all we've really gotten to see. You got to remember, this is a guy who doesn't have a great body of work despite being a long time in the National Football League, but I believe he has earned the right to compete and enter camp as the starting quarterback. And according to Jimmy Haslam, according to Mike Pettine, and according to Ray Farmer, that's exactly what he's going to get. He is going to enter camp as the starting quarterback in an open competition to see if he can hold on to that when the season starts. I think ultimately when you look at it, you look at a guy in Johnny Manziel that I think every talent evaluator in the National Football League would say has a higher ceiling than Brian Hoyer at this juncture. We don't know what we really have in Brian Hoyer. I think Brian Hoyer is the kind of guy, and I said before, who could lead this team to the playoff in the right circumstances. I don't know without Josh Gordon if those are the circumstances under which he can thrive, because what Johnny Manziel is going to be able to do is provide a boost to the ground game with his threat of running and also be able to make chunk plays without necessarily chunk playmakers in terms of playmakers at the wide receiver position. Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns today, and he's going to have every opportunity to compete. As he said, bring him on when he found out Johnny Manziel was drafted to still be the starter, but it's going to come down to who performs better in training camp, period. And that's the way that it should be, I think.
Jack in Brook Park joins us now. Hello, Jack.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I called you the week before the draft, and you guys were the only ones in town entertaining the idea of Terrence West as a running back. I was so excited to see him move up and
love Terrence
get
West.
That young man. And I wondered if you saw Charlie Cassidy's report. Kudos to the Browns for, if nothing else, making another tough competition at running back with Ben Tate. And he believes by the end of the year this kid will be the starter.
I heard him. I'm aware of that. He was pretty emphatic about Terrence West. I'm not surprised because Terrence West is, you know, an outstanding player and I think a guy who has got a good, long, successful NFL future ahead of him. That said, Ben Tate, the established guy, the guy who I think has a much better sense of how this zone blocking, outside zone scheme works, and the one-cut work against the grain and the patience that's required, all the mindset that goes with it, will give him an edge, obviously, going into this. His injury history aside, I think this will be, though, a good opportunity to bring the best out of Ben Tate as well. He'll be challenged, absolutely, in this training camp. And I've said this before, I'll go in thinking Tate's the starter on the edge of experience, but I won't rule out anything once camp unfolds, and I absolutely think that Terrence West is going to get his share of carries.
I think they're both going to have the opportunity to be very successful. This is going to be a team that is going to pound the football, and I love the Terrence West pick. I thought it was a great one alongside Ben Tate. And I thought Ben Tate had a funny remark back to about Charlie Cassidy, which is good, showing his good nature, saying, well, he used to be a GM in the NFL. He's not anymore. He's the GM for NFL Network, so I'm not so worried about his opinion at this time, which I thought was a great retort, and Ben Tate should feel like he's the starter here. That's what he was brought here to do. And he was excited. And I also think the fact that we got a guy like a Terrence West, brought in a Pierre Desir, two guys from very small schools, gives a lot of credence and a lot. I want to give a lot of props to the scouting department here, specifically Chisholm Opara and Bobby Vega, two guys who were singled out by Ray Farmer before the draft even happened for their great work here. And uncovering those diamonds is key in the National Football League, and I think they've done it. Big fan of Terrence West. All right, let's go to Jack and Brook Park.
No, actually.
I'm sorry, John and Dallas. John and Dallas. My mistake.
Hey, guys. Regular caller, even a little bit more the last couple months because I was pro Johnny Manziel. I just want to thank Vic for somewhat helping us off the ledge the last 6 months. By every time, Vic, you mentioned Josh Gordon, you kind of gave us the yeah, but, you know, he's on thin ice. And I would hear you, and I'd be like, nah, he's a new kid. He's not going to screw up. And lo and behold, he screwed up. The Manziel, I guess, euphoria wore off real quick, and because of Gordon. And
yeah, sure.
Especially down here, I took a lot of grief when they drafted Manziel from friends, and I was ecstatic. I mean, I literally almost shed a tear when they drafted the guy. Not for Manziel, not for myself, but for the city. And then to have the Josh Gordon thing just turned everything. It ripped my heart out.
I was despondent. My wife will tell you I was as high as anybody could. Notorious.
Oh my God! You have your head buried in your hands.
It's a bummer.
You're inconsolable.
I was sad. It hurts. There's no question about it. It was a blow.
I just want to clarify one thing. And the caller, thank you for being not only a regular listener, and I appreciate your kind remarks. Although with regard to my observations on Gordon. I'm not happy about this. I'm not doing an I told you so or anything of the sort. I wanted it to work out for this guy, not only as a football player, but as a man, as a person to develop. And I certainly hope, by the way, all the best for him. There's no reason to...
I'm hoping for a miracle.
You know, whatever it is. But even if it's the worst news, I want the worst to eventually be the best for him, wherever that is. I sincerely mean that. I like Josh Gordon. I love what he's done as a football player, but I've had an opportunity to get to know him personally, as you have.
The
guy we're around has been nothing but great with us. So we want to tell you that. We also would like to thank our partner, Bud Light, for providing the product for our golfers today. Coming up, we are going to have a conversation with the one and only Renee Harvey. She's been, of course, a regular on our show on many fronts to talk about the Browns' great work within the community. She, of course, heading up with D. Haslam, the foundation, the great work that this foundation does and is putting on this golf tournament here at Barrington Country Club in Aurora. Much more coming up on CBD. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is ESPN 850 WKNR.